what it's going to look like down the road here. So with that, I'll call the meeting of the, this is the June Economic Development Planning, Education, Employment, Arts, and Agriculture Committee to order. So, Dan, if you wouldn't mind just
the flag.
Yeah.
I just want to sign it. That's what I can do, I think.
I think we're okay for this meeting today. So if you wouldn't mind, Dan.
Yeah, just a quick run through of the site plan. We just, for those of us that were on the tour, we walked through it. You could get visualize the property. We're here in the front building across the street. You can see the about 600,000 square feet. Those buildings over there really are in the best shape on the campus in terms of being able to turn around and reuse. We've been talking pretty extensively with Bard College about the possibility of them having a graduate school for medical and for engineering, as well as other services over on that part of the property. Back behind the property is open space, some forested area. At the county's request, Natural Resources purchased that as well as part of the acquisition of that property. The plan there, as I mentioned outside, was to move some of the recreational facilities, including soccer fields, down by the creek where there's a floodplain. And then there is discussion and a commitment by Natural Resources to build a new building on that property. We're in decent talks right now with another agribusiness that does manufacturing about space there, about 100 to 150,000 square feet, and obviously more to come on that. In these front buildings, which we walked around, which we're here, we have Archtop Fiber, the broadband company. They're our first official tenant. They signed their lease a couple weeks ago. They have 22 employees. They'll be up to 100 employees operating in about 30 to 40,000 square feet. They've taken some storage space here, and they've got an outdoor yard over here. The rest of the building, the bottom and the top, we've been talking extensively about this idea of a workforce development hub or an innovation center where we can have training on campus that's linked directly into the commercial tenants, whether it's the fiber or the manufacturing, the dairy. Someone was joking about or talking about the meat processing. All of that, what we're hearing when we talk to our commercial...
I wasn't joking.
That's no joke.
When we're talking to our commercial, prospective commercial tenants, they like the property, they like the utilities that are here, they like the owner, they like the buildings, they see that they can be used. They worry about two things. Where's their workforce coming from, and where are they going to live? So we're trying to solve those problems on campus by having a hub of workforce development on site that's coordinating with them to feed their workers into them. And then there'll also be, as I'll talk about in a minute, 880 units of housing for these people that will be working on the campus. So we're trying to make this campus as attractive to prospective tenants as possible. So that would be the front building. One C2 here in the diagram is the battery company. Right now it looks like Zinc 8 is going to be in that facility. We have talked about splitting it in half. There's another lithium company, Cadenza Innovation, that is their lithium, and they're dealing with some issues with the federal government right now, but the hope is that they'll be on campus as well, and the two companies will either split this building or one will be in this building. This is 750,000 square feet of new construction that's on the parking lot over there, so they could potentially use this property as well. Either one battery company gets this building, about 300,000 square feet, and the other goes here, or we can mix and match a little bit. But these two buildings are going to primarily be your manufacturing and industrial activity. On the pad of a building that looked just like this here that the previous owner took down is where we're going to put the sound stages for Upriver Studios, Mary Stuart Masterson's group. 100,000 up to 200,000 square feet of sound stages, with an equivalent amount of space that they'll take in this building in the back. This is 300,000 square feet. In addition to the film, we've been talking to a solar manufacturing company mm-hmm. about the prospects of using the first floor. So they've got good loading docks on that building as well. Over here where you had, if you all remember, of course, the debris piles that were here, those are gone. There's other pads from other buildings that were taken down and parking lots. This is 880 units of housing that's proposed, that's in front of the town planning board as we speak, and we're working very carefully with them to try to figure this out. likely a phased development that would start over here and grow, and the final phase would be out in this area where you have the soccer fields, trying to not disrupt that as long as we can. These two buildings in the back, I pointed out to you when we were outside, an old powerhouse that did the heating and cooling for the property, and a maintenance facility. We're talking to a creamery, Ronnie Brook, and some partners about combining these together to about 100,000 square feet to do both a creamery manufacturing, dairy manufacturing, but also a retail component. It's really important for Joe Cotter, the principal here, to have some form of ice cream on the campus, so Ronnie Brook will be able to scratch that itch. And we mentioned before, these buildings in the back, which were most attractive to National Resources early on, are owned by another entity that bought them before the transaction was completed. So we talked about the mobility hub. This is where we'll have, and there actually is a UCAT stop over there now that's functioning, but we'll build a mobility center here for UCAT, for shuttle service to any campuses that are partnering with us, including SUNY Ulster, Bard, SUNY New Paltz, a shuttle to the Amtrak station across the river, and other forms of transportation that could be incorporated, Uber, you know, rideshare, anything like that. This is a building we're still trying to figure out. It was storage. Mm-hmm. It's actually a pretty cool building. I actually like this for the meat processing because it's got these individual storage bays that you can kind of work separately from others. So that's to be determined. And if I can take two more minutes, I'll give you some visuals about, if you're anything like me, you can hear this, but in my mind's eye, I don't see it. Mm-hmm. So we've prepared some things that help.
Dan, before you take that down, would you mind just going over the phases a little bit and the timeline on the phases, what you guys anticipate, if you don't mind?
So the color coordinating here isn't terrific, but you'll see there's a darker color for existing buildings and then a lighter color for the new buildings. The plan is to get started with these buildings up front, I'd say these front buildings and building one. We're started. We're doing some extensive work. We're starting fit up for Archtop here, and we're working on repairing the roof and getting started. This Restore New York grant that was announced last week is primarily going to go for this building and these buildings up in here to help get them started. Mm-hmm. So that's, as I said, Archtop, we're hoping to get Archtop in here a little after Labor Day in their final. This building here for Zinc Gates is a longer runway, but they also have a longer runway to get up and running. Mm-hmm. So I think we're aligned. Our timing and their timing is aligned. Mm-hmm. That would be, I'd say, about a year plus to get that building up and running. Depending on if and when we get approval from the town planning board, we could start, let's say we got approval in August for this, conceivably. We could start breaking ground for the first phase of housing in September.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fine. That's great. Yeah. Okay, thank you.
This gives you a little bit of a visualization about what this campus can look like. We're here. This is the building one, the new 750,000 square foot, the sound stages. This is all the housing. That's 5N. This is the creamery here. When you look at it this way, it's like, it gets pretty real, right? It could be something that is achievable. I think it looks very cool. And these are just some of the design ideas for the various housing elements. There's a whole bunch of different styles and different functionality in terms of the number of floors. There are a few walk-ups that don't have elevators. There are larger buildings that would have elevators. But just trying to give a little modern feel that's kind of true to us as a community. You know, not too suburban, but not too industrial either. Mm-hmm. This is one of the longer ones. We were asking before about amenities and retail that could be available. So in this area here, which this would be a new leasing office, and then you've got retail opportunities, a bakery, a florist, a cafe. I mean, it could be anyone. Imagine like an ice cream dairy, something like that in here as well.
Multiple ice cream.
And then this is just one more
reoccurring
visual of what some of the diverse, this would be a walk-up that wouldn't have elevators. It's about the thinking behind the redevelopment of the campus is placemaking, really making something that could be its own community in some ways that the people who live and work here can enjoy, but the residents of the county can come in and enjoy as well. A lot of amenities, a lot of services, and of course, a lot of housing.
It's like Eastdale with jobs.
With like Eastdale with jobs.
Yeah.
And by the way,
is that the place on 44?
Nice. Yeah.
Any space.
They should do that here with restaurants.
Well, that's what he kind of did.
So let me bring this back up because there's a couple things that I guess. Thank you, Peter, for reminding me. So ARCH is another big component of the property planning. So in these areas here, you have like an indoor-outdoor pavilion that can be used for performance space of all kinds, music and otherwise. And the idea, too, in some of these buildings is to have live workspace for artists, where you have a place where they can live, but you also have workspace and a retail space for artists who can spend time working on the property and then sell their wares. And we, before the creamery came in, we were talking about a brewery, a distillery, and like a Chelsea Market kind of food hub that was going to be up here. Now that the creamery is interested, I'm not quite sure where we're going to put them, but I would imagine they're on their way back into the design.
So I wanted to mention to you that we recently passed a resolution to start the process of an arts master plan for the county. Mm-hmm. So the city of Kingston, we did an arts master plan, the Arts Commission, and we're going to do that same type of process, so we should get you involved in that.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had some people who were involved with the arts program, and someone in my neighborhood does it. They do like in their garage, they'll like a walking tour.
Right,
so
right.
They were here with someone from ASK, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Things.
Okay.
So we're looking for partners to actually help us, as we are with a lot of this property. We need partners in order for this to be successful. So someone in the art space who can be a partner to help pull all this together and to operate it, if we wanted to have meat processing, who's going to operate that one. So any ideas, any partners you have, I would suggest bringing them your way. The last thing, and then I'll stop. We talked a little bit earlier about renewable energy. So most, if not all, of the rooftops will have solar deployed on them. Parking will have some covered spots with solar. And we're trying to find a way to incorporate wind into the property as well. We've had extensive conversations with NYSERDA and with Green Bank about the types of programs that could be incorporated, not necessarily to fund the whole thing, but just to bridge the gap in terms of the economics of it for the property. So that'll be a big component of it. And then having, we talked before about synergies, having battery storage companies on campus, like we've done with the broadband company, where we're going to have them service. We're doing a similar deal with the battery companies to have their batteries deployed on this campus so we can do better peak flow management on any given day. And then as we develop our renewable portfolio, we can have renewable energy feeding into those storage solutions.
Mm-hmm. So. Great.
All right.
Well, thank you very much, Dan. I appreciate you taking the time to bring us around, show us around, give us an update on where iPark is on the trajectory to success here. I feel really excited, and I don't know how you can not.
Sure. I read in an article the other day, it was mentioned $200,000 guaranteed, but put in something like that. But then when we were doing the tour, you said something like $180 million of natural resources funds.
Yeah, that was a typo.
It was supposed to be. Okay. Why wouldn't you say that publicly?
I saw their correction.
No, it wasn't.
But
and understandably, early on, the subsidies will go in first, like you mentioned in C2, the $10 million. When does natural resources start? But I know
as
they
we're getting the leases, they have banks both on the lenders, both on the housing side and the commercial side, who are ready. We have term sheets. We're ready to go. We need leases. So as the leases come in, we start fitting up the buildings where the leases are.
And some of the leases revolve on a couple of anchors. Mm-hmm. Is there a worst case scenario? What would derail these wonderful pictures from happening? Certain leases not coming through? What would slow things up? What would?
My biggest concern, the thing that keeps me awake at night for this property, is time.
Yeah.
So in the year and a half that National Resources has been here, we've had near record inflation. We've had bank crises. We've had political changes. The longer these issues of leasing are open-ended, the more opportunities there are for these challenges that could potentially derail the property. So for me, it's getting our leases in place with our tenants, and of course the approvals on the housing. But in order for this property, I think, to be most successful, it's the commercial components that need to be strong. everything else, the housing supports that, the workforce development supports that, but we need those commercial tenants. Mm-hmm. And so just getting them, getting those leases done, and a lot of it is their financials, you know, them starting to get themselves together. It's not so much of the stumbling point isn't here on the property as much as is with the tenants getting their financials.
I mean, these are not small projects we're talking about here. You know, these are tens of millions of dollars,
hundreds of millions of dollars of
investment into the county here, right? It's huge.
Has there been any concern about ground contamination? There's lots of local rumors for many years about.
We pointed out when we were at this part of the building where IBM has a facility somewhere in this area, they've been a part of this property for decades of cleaning up, that there is a contamination plume that was isolated in this part of the campus. It's been shrinking. They continue to treat it. We're trying to get them to treat it more aggressively. And it's monitored, so we see that it's shrinking. So there's only restrictions on this property over here is no housing because of that contamination. There's no other restrictions, and if you can imagine, the ground soils of this campus have been very closely monitored. And
there never was contamination over there. It always went to the northwest from building two because it was a broken down waste pipe.
Our environmental challenges are really the asbestos that are in the buildings, and now that you've got a company that has experience in that type of remediation, it's more expensive, it's more time consuming, but it's happening properly.
Which agency has the ability to pressure IBM to be more aggressive with their
DEC is the primary, because there is a consent decree between the DEC and IBM on the property. There's regular meetings between Natural Resources, DEC, and IBM, and a few other stakeholders. So we continue to dance that dance pretty regularly with them.
Yeah, and that's been that way for as long as I can remember. You know, from the first time I was in the legislature in 2006.
And it's getting better. It's getting better.
That's the most important thing, is the plume has shrunk down dramatically from the initial discovery of it, right? And IBM is, in fact, going to double the size of their facility on that spot right now. It's a single-story, maybe, I don't know, 800,000-square-foot building. And I think they're going to bring it up to about 2,500 square feet, two stories, and improve that. So they're working on it, and they're following everything they need to do to make it better, right? And it's actually, you know, the only prohibitive thing is housing because it's under remediation. Otherwise, it's okay.
And on that side, so this master plan, coincidentally, because I don't think Natural Resources looked at the previous master plan that Ginsberg did for the property, but if you compare the two, they're pretty similar. They have film production. They have housing. The housing is clustered over here because of the plume over there.
Right.
So this is a pretty standard approach to redeveloping. The difference is you've got a partner that has the experience and the resources to do it versus the previous owner.
Great. Okay. Thanks. So before we get into our agenda, we have
Chair. I have about three questions.
I'm sorry.
I'm looking forward to getting a tour. I'm sorry I missed this tour, but are you planning to connect the Old Neighborhood Road, or is it just focused on the Enterprise Drive?
We've talked to the town. There is connections here, and we've had a conversation with the town about that. It's not clear how that's going to be resolved. Mm-hmm. My gut is that we will. It's with the trains here, the town is concerned about emergency access. There's a train that's blocking this area. So having access through the campus to Old Neighborhood Road is a value to them.
Oh, yeah.
So we're just trying, as we're finalizing the master plan with them, that's been factored into the conversation.
Great. My other question was about transit, but I see the M4.
Yep.
Thank you. And before Tim moved on, he and I had a meeting about a hemp innovation lab that a few of us are interested in. Have you heard about that yet?
I have not.
I'm meeting with Joshua soon, and I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, please do. As we said on the tour, which we were hearing the conversation, agriculture, agribusiness is a big part of the thesis for the campus, and we have had conversations with a bunch of cannabis interests. As many of you probably know, the licensing process has been slowed at the state level, so as that licensing process moves forward, I wouldn't rule out the likelihood that there could be some form of cannabis on the campus.
We're talking about long fiber industrial hemp.
That's right.
Yeah, so not
we'd actually talked about like a manufacturing. We looked at, early on, we were talking to someone about hempcrete, like using the hemp fibers for concrete.
Which is so what?
That would be right up right in their wheelhouse to do something like that.
So that should be a good meeting, Chris.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely. Megan and I are making progress.
Yeah.
Herb is in the loop.
Yep,
and Tim and I had a great meeting about real estate and where we can house the three machines that we want to buy.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay, so at this point, I'm going to ask Amanda, I guess, are you going to introduce Frank? No, you go ahead.
I'm going to thank everyone, and we're I'm joined here by Frank Slauton from Falatech, and I'll let Frank introduce himself and in a moment, but just to put a little more form around the county executive's vision for the committee regarding the Workforce Innovation Center and its role in not only supporting the IPARC businesses and kind of the ecosystem here, but really the opportunity to use various programming and partners to reach out further into the community and to additional businesses. So I'm prepared to give you a little update on the lease, so on the physical side as far as space, and then we'll be joined by Frank to talk about some opportunities that we are very excited about regarding grant opportunities to develop the programming and the curriculum of the Workforce Innovation Center. So as far as physical space, the county is currently in discussions with IPARC regarding leasing with UCEDA 40,000 square feet of space at, to create the Workforce Innovation Center. And that would be in close coordination with about half of that space, so 20,000 square feet would be for county departments, county functions. That would be to co-locate our Office of Employment and Training and their subtenants right now, which is the Department of Labor and those associated programs, our Office of Economic Development, and our Department of Tourism. To be co-located here as part of the Workforce Innovation Center. And along that, another 20,000 square feet would be leases with our partner educational institutions. So SUNY Ulster, which I'm so happy to see them here this evening, SUNY New Paltz, and BOCES, to really bring the partners together in that space. What we're currently looking at is, because, again, you heard a little bit about the importance of leases to financing and how that's kind of the stepwise progression in actually building out the campus. So a lease for 40,000 square feet, which would come in front of the legislature, that where the master agreement would be between IPARC and UCEDA, then the county would be the subtenant for 20,000 square feet, and then our partners of SUNY Ulster, SUNY New Paltz, and BOCES would be also subleases from UCEDA. After the master lease would be for 10 years, and after the work, everyone moved in and the Workforce Innovation Center was up and running, the leases between SUNY Ulster, SUNY New Paltz, and BOCES could be reassigned directly with IPARC, as those entities are allowed to enter into leases that are longer than 5 years terms. The county is not, so our lease would remain under UCEDA until 5 years of that 10-year term had elapsed, and then after that time, it would also be reassigned to be directly with IPARC.
And that, if you don't mind me interrupting, so that would mean that after, although we have a 10-year master lease, after 5 years, SUNY Ulster, New Paltz, and BOCES would then have their own leases.
They would have their own leases in the beginning.
In the
because
beginning.
They are, yep. And
With UCEDA, though.
With, directly, in the beginning, directly with UCEDA.
Yes.
And then near term, before 5 years.
Okay.
Those would be reassigned in between IPARC and those three entities.
Oh, well,
the only
good.
One then still living under UCEDA would be the county's
lease. Yeah, gotcha.
Why for 5 years.
Why are we doing it that way?
The county, it's general municipal law that we cannot lease longer than 5 years. However, the 10-year lease is the time frame that's necessary to substantiate the investment in the space in order to build it out. For for the Workforce Innovation Center.
So the natural resources wants a longer guarantee.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's...
Which is...
Yeah.
And does you see to keep any money for being the middleman?
Not in any...
It's a just a pass-through.
Yes.
Zero space with UCEDA.
It's simply to kind of help facilitate this structure and also get all the pieces together and be this stepping stone for the county to be able to help kind of secure the 10-year term.
Can we talk a little bit?
Sure.
Do you have numbers on the rate per square foot compared?
I don't now because that's still under discussion.
Okay.
That's the piece that I believe is still under negotiation.
Uh-huh.
So that I do not have here.
Okay.
But we are definitely looking for something that is close to what the county is currently paying for the OET space.
Okay.
Kind of down the, but very, we're looking for something that is
comparable.
Comparable.
Who's
working? Do
we have a realtor? We're just doing this ourselves. Who's running point?
This is, I would say, not a realtor situation because it's a unique situation. However, this is coming through the executive's office right now.
So, who in the executive's office is running point? Who's negotiating on the county's behalf?
So the county executive's been very involved, as well as the county attorney and other deputies.
Jen and Clint are sitting at the table and negotiating.
And Chris Kelly, Deputy Executive Kelly, as well.
Okay.
And I'm going to go back to, and I'm trying to think of who was, Turb was certainly here when we first got the pitch for across the street for Enterprise West. One of the things that we talked about was this, exactly this, right, is moving county offices onto the site at, you know, we balked at market rate. You know, we shouldn't have to pay market rate, right? If we're going to be partners, we're going to be partners. And I think, you know, that's kind of like probably what the discussions are around right now is like, you know, we want this place to succeed, right? And we, to be partners with that, we need a little give and take, right? And I think that's kind of like where we are right now. You know, we're at that place where we're really at a turning point. You know, if we, you know, can go ahead and just keep pushing this forward, that momentum will just keep growing and growing and growing, and then we'll get, you know, SUNY Ulster, SUNY New Paltz, and BARD committing, I'm sorry, BOCES committing, maybe BARD committing to, you know, developing an innovation center here. I mean, that's great, because by the way, next speaker is going to talk about how it's not just IPARC, right? This is more than IPARC, right? Our agencies in the county don't just service one business, they service the county, right? And so this whole plan is to, you know, take whatever the county needs and have it all in one footprint here.
Dan, if you don't get the leases, government leases, is the project and what you showed us today at risk?
I wouldn't say at risk. We're not in as strong a position. Remember, the whole, from our perspective, the value of the Workforce Innovation Hub is servicing and attracting our commercial tenants. They need to know that a small community like us can get them 800, 900 trained workers. So without this, we are at a disadvantage when it comes time to trying to get these commercial tenants here. But in terms of the space, we'll find some other use for it. You know, it doesn't undercut the integrity of the entire project. It just weakens our strength and our value. The success we've had so far in getting these companies to agree to come here is based on supporting them with their workforce and with their housing solutions in large part.
So before we approve all these government leases, it's being used as a negotiating chip, anticipating you're going to get it to get these other companies.
I think the county executive's been clear about talking about this idea in public, so we've said this is something that's being discussed, and IPARC is supportive of it. We think the county's supportive of it, so I wouldn't say it's... I wouldn't frame it.
And we have a, you know, a workforce development board that is, you know, very in sync with various needs of the county and also very committed to investing in workforce and developing workforce. However, we see a lot of synergies about having it here, having the partners here, having... being able to create additional curriculum, which we'll talk about, And the opportunities to bring in that kind of strategic workforce development money to the place here. So we do, just to finish up the piece on the physical space, so we can talk a little bit about the program and keep it moving along. We do have letters of commitment from our academic partners that they want to be part of the Workforce Innovation Center. And it was important for the county executive for this first to be vetted and reviewed by the county legislature. You know, you see it as an important piece of it, but this really does ultimately rest on the legislature as far as the importance of the decision making. But so I think if that's good with the lease.
Does anyone have any more questions? Because I'd like to let Mr.
Would the original deal signed by Natural Resources, Mr. Ginsburg, the EDA, all parties that were at the table on different parts of these leases, would the deal have been signed if not for anticipated government leases, the exact same deal?
Sure.
Mr. Ryan, there was no discussion with Mr. Ryan during the
original. All right, so we're not going to go there.
Ryan, I'm actually absolutely going to ask the question.
Well, hold on a second. Yeah, I just want to make a point. You're asking people that were not involved in any of that in this room.
Mr. Ahouse was in the original meeting, according to Mr. Cotter, he accompanied
but
Mr.
But he's not
Ryan,
a decision maker for IPART.
But he can answer the question of what was talked about.
So
in that
I think
meeting.
That I think that what you know your question is. Not kind of like what the focus of what we're trying to do here.
Not your focus.
No, of the legislature and I think the county overall, and I think
no.
Most people, you know, agree that we want to see a
duly elected official, my friend.
No,
on the side,
I understand, and I'm not saying you personally. Okay, so my point is this, right? Is that you know we have established that you know we've made huge commitment to this project for over three and a half years almost now, right? Because it was on the table when I first got here 3.5 years ago when I started chairing this committee. It was one of the first things we did, and we've been working on it steadily since then, right? And I'm telling you that, you know, from day one, this has been, you know, looked at in every single direction, right? You know, at one point, we had the chairman of the legislature, the chairman of Ways and Means, and another legislator dead set against it, right? Dead set against it. And, you know, these folks work so hard to prove that they're going to be good, willing, responsible partners. And, by the way, they've proven that because they're doing exactly what they said they were going to do in all their contracts. They're paying all their bills. They're putting money in escrow that they said they were going to put in escrow. They're fixing the place up. They're getting partners in other parts of government, in education, private sector, workforce development, right? And I think that, you know, to cast aspersions...
Ask questions.
Well, you can ask the questions, Joe, but I think, you know...
Perhaps if I was here during the first debacle, we would have been better off.
What debacle is that?
The Ginsburg debacle.
But I don't know what you're talking about. Ginsburg never had any business with the county.
He wasn't foreclosed on for about 3 or 4 years. We don't have to go through that. I would have just loved to have been able to
but anyway,
ask the questions.
So I want to stay focused on what we're here about today.
So you're going to shut me down.
I'm not going to shut you down, Joe. You can ask your question. Ask your question. I'm just trying to keep it in a positive tone here. That's all. Because that's what it is.
Oh, my God. The amount of money that's being spent here, the amount of government tax dollars that are being spent here, and I can't ask...
I didn't say that.
A simple question.
I did not say that.
Without this interruption and this awkwardness, you're building a culture of, you know, just going along, and that's how we've gotten to a lot of the messages.
But that's the way you're framing it. But that certainly has not been what it has. You haven't been sitting in the meetings that Herb and I have been sitting in for 3.5 years. Where if you say what I did in those meetings was going along, well, you are sadly mistaken.
I'm sure you asked a lot of tough questions. You were the toughest question asker.
Yeah, I was pretty tough question asker. Quite honestly, the minutes are there. You can go look at them.
Yeah,
they're there. I did. You know, you may not believe it, you know, and you may not, for some reason or another.
With you, but if I could just, the fact that I'm the only one at the table that has concerns with moving a bunch of county entities, also when we're getting...
Who said that?
Amanda just laid it out.
But who said you're the only one with concerns?
Well, I'm the only one asking questions. Are you going to...
Joe, we've all asked questions. I've asked questions since I started being a legislator about why are we spending money on getting...
Unbelievable,
Joe.
If I interrupted anyone, I'd be shut down.
You just spoke
but you don't
for
use
me.
The gavel,
Joe.
Equally.
You just spoke for me. You just said nobody at this table has asked questions. I asked tough questions from the very beginning of this process. So please don't speak for me.
Me too.
That's all I'm asking. Don't speak for me. Yes. If you're going to make statements, do it, but don't talk for me. You don't know what I asked and what
please,
I did not
with
ask.
The pointing, the interrupting.
All right, so I'm just going to ask that we let Mr. Legislator Maloney have the floor, ask his question, and then we're going to move on and let Mr. Colatin give his presentation. So whatever questions you have, Legislator Maloney, go ahead.
Have calls been made from natural resources to county entities pushing for government leases that were promised upon during original negotiations or strongly anticipated? Have calls been made recently to the executive over the last couple of months saying we need these leases?
I think the county executive, as Amanda pointed out, has been reaching out and engaging with
have you resources. Specifically reached out to the county executive and other individuals?
I haven't reached out to the county executive.
Have you reached out to any county officials? Have you had discussions with county officials about the need for these government leases for success at iPark the same way it was promised
so
by
when,
Pat Ryan?
When we,
verbal,
when
oral
we started the conversation with the we meaning National Resources with Ulster County, with Pat and with Tim about the potential plan for the property, National Resources indicated to them, as they did later to the legislative leaders who came down to the property, that in their experience, having medical tenants, having educational tenants, and having government tenants on the property are helpful to the success because of their stability and because of the value that they add to the property. That has been a pretty common theme throughout. As our commercial tenants, as I've talked about earlier, raised issues with the need for workforce development, those issues have become more clear. And so we've had conversations pretty consistently from the beginning about what that could look like. Those conversations are going on now. A lot of what Amanda was talking about, I'm not in the middle of those conversations. Those conversations are taking place between Jen Metzger, Chris Kelly, and Joe Cotter. But am I asking how we doing? Am I reaching out to our stakeholders, asking how things are going? Because Zinc 8 or Archtop or Cadenza or the dairy companies are asking where do we stand? You know, sure, those conversations.
In any of those conversations, have people been reminded of the promises that Pat Ryan made verbally?
I just want to correct something here.
Oh, my. I'm done. We're not getting to it.
No, okay. No, because I want to talk about something because you keep talking about promises that Pat Ryan made that no one knows about, Joe. I don't know about them. I don't know about any promises that Pat Ryan made to anyone, and I don't think you do either. Honestly, I think you might have heard that.
No.
But I can tell you this, that in the PSAs that the UCEDA board signed, the PSAs that we signed through UCEDA for the three different transfers of property on this site, none of them have any commitment from the county to iPark or National Resources, right? There is one thing in the reverse. National Resource has to let us put space in here if we want it. 5,000 square feet minimum.
We're not getting to that. We're not going to have a real conversation.
That's what the PSA says. That's what we agreed to. There's nothing in there that talks about any backroom deal that could have happened. And even if it did happen, it's not in the PSA. It's not enforceable. It's just not enforceable. And who has the final say? Who? We do. The county legislature.
And how do we know that the things we're doing are in the best interest of the taxpayer if they're off of guarantees that were verbal guarantees that weren't in the original contract?
Well, how do we know that about anything that we vote on, Joe? Honestly, how do we know that about anything that we vote on? What makes this different? What's so special about this project that makes us want to look at this with a fine-tooth comb rather than, you know, like any other? We'll have five million dollars worth of contracts tonight. Are we going to look at each one of those? And this contract will be far less than that.
I tried to. All right, like I said, let's. Apparently, nobody else is interested in.
Right.
In this.
Okay. You know, that's
fine. Brian.
Interested in what?
In understanding all the angles of what's really going on here, and if we're making the best decisions. No one else is concerned or asking any questions with regards to what the likelihood of success, what's the failure rate, and how much these contracts that I know, and I can show right after the meeting. I'll show Phil and I'll show Chris, and then they can tell you. Laura reached out to you didn't want to hear it through email, but that these were guarantees made by Pat Ryan verbally while contracts were being signed. Mr. Ahaus, who now works for Natural Resources, was
right,
there
so
during the negotiations.
You said it three times, and we
resources.
Still don't know what you're talking
but,
about.
But and that's fine. I offered to meet you, and I'm
no,
asking and all, and I'm asking him. Unless you stop interrupting, I'm asking directly to get Mr. Ahaus on the record.
But I'm asking you,
answers.
What's the difference if they made a verbal commitment? What's the difference? It's not in the PSA.
I can't believe I got elected legislator to ask questions about a multi-million dollar
but
deal.
He's answered
and
your
get
questions.
Interrupted. And,
he's
and
answered your questions, and we're not going to just keep beating around the bush. We're going to get to the rest of our agenda here. We have a long agenda. And by the way, Joe, you know those questions were answered in a string of emails over and over again, right? And if you don't want to accept
move,
those answers,
let's
then don't accept them.
Let's not waste,
but the
waste
point is this.
Time,
no,
including
no,
mine,
no.
Including yours.
No, well, I just want to make
you,
something
you
very,
style,
very clear.
This is how you run a meeting. Next
yeah.
year, we'll see how economic development is.
Yeah. So I just want to say this.
Approach.
You know, we have three PSAs signed
let's
with this property. Not one of them have a commitment for us to rent space here. And that's the bottom line. I don't care what people had in private conversations. It doesn't
you
matter.
Care.
It does not matter. It just doesn't matter. As long as we have PSAs, which are contracts, that's what everybody has to adhere to.
It matters. It speaks volumes. Here we go.
So,
Frank,
let me give you a vision of a really good opportunity for the county. I'm from the private sector, okay? I am a manufacturer. My office is right here. So I border on this property. And I'm fearful that we're not going to have enough workforce to satisfy these companies you're bringing in. And I am president of Fowler Technologies, but I'm here today as the workforce director for the Council of Industry. The Council of Industry is the manufacturing association for the entire Hudson Valley. And I've been working with education and workforce for 20, 30 years, and this is very strategic that I talk to you about an opportunity for the county, and we're going to talk about money, and we're going to talk about jobs. If you could just pass these around, and I'm going to put my little chart up here for everyone to see it. But this is, I'm past chair of the Ulster County Workforce Development Board. I've been on the board for longer than I can even remember, and I'm getting old and gray, and I need to build a new workforce of technicians. So my company continue. Again, we've been in business 77 years, and I need workforce as well as these companies do too. So a few years ago, backstory is I got a federal grant. I work with the disability communities here in Ulster County, and I am now putting individual disabilities into four-year New York State registered apprenticeship programs that will teach them how to someday become master craftsmen. So I work with a population of students that nobody hires in manufacturing today, okay? And we'll go through that in more detail. But what I want to talk about here is we have a workforce summit coming up in June 15th, which is 2 weeks from now. This is our third summit. The first two summits, first one started this time last year. We are working at a pace to try to bring the entire county together and all these work groups that you see at the bottom of your chart, they have been tasked to do certain steps to help us create this workforce that we hope we can land here as part of this initiative that you're doing with IPARC 70. And if you notice above it, it says community education, support service, and industry and business. I'm going to talk about this in a little bit more detail in a second. That's our community of everyone. We've got to bring everyone together to help us create a quality, what we call job seekers. Job seekers is not my name. That's what New York State Department of Labor has called these people. Last year, New York State Department of Labor interviewed 8,000 job seekers. 55% of them were not able to make it through community college and get a two-year degree. Okay, we don't hire those people today as technicians in industry. I'm working with all segments of this population, and this is what we want to have this center do, which is create training programs and bring the community together, and I'll show you how we're going to do that in a second here. And we're going to go after two grants. Right now, in the upper left-hand corner, is U.S. Department of Labor. U.S. Department of Labor funds New York State, U.S. Department of Labor, U.S. Department of Labor funds New York State
Department of Labor to fund the entire program of the workforce development and the one stop. We're on the board. Every year the grant, the state gives us money. We have to figure out how we're going to train, what jobs we're going to train for, what training programs we have. So this money source that supports the county exists today. And it's a 10-year legislation at the federal level, and next year it comes up for renewal. And there'll have to be, and I have a whole presentation I can give you at some later date. The important part is we're going to do something now at Ulster County that's going to be the model that we're going to try to get the federal government to say, this is such a damn good project that you guys are doing at a county level. Let's do it at a regional level. Let's do it at a state level. Let's do it at a federal level. And let's get them to spend some of their dollars to do what I'm going to present to you in this next slide. Okay, right now this money does not cover this county to do what I'm suggesting, what I'm proposing, what industry is proposing to you. There is another grant that's on the street right now that's been opened since the beginning of the year, and there's $1 million hanging out there to actually fund exactly what we want to show you. Okay, and this grant is open for various applications, and these are the deadlines. We're missing today's deadline, but we're going to have this summit on June 15th, and we want everyone that's of interest in working in workforce to meet with us and help us prepare to submit an application that will win $1 million that will either flow to the county or it's going to flow to the Workforce Development Board. Those are qualified, eligible applicants for this money. So this is the next step I want to show you. This is the plan, and it's, you have to understand, I'm an engineer, and I make things very complicated, and this looks complicated, but it really isn't.
No,
the flow chart,
just like you, Herb.
It's a flow chart. I actually have a training program to teach individuals to have barriers to employment at my facility, and I teach them how to read and know what a flow chart is. So do you know that there's a brick wall between K-12 and the other side of the wall, which is called employment? And the county funds employment, and the dollars that fund education flow down from New York State Education, as well as industry works with education, and we help them on this side of the wall. As soon as a student leaves school, he has no support whatsoever from education. He's on the employment side, and that's where the Office of Employment and Training comes in. This is an absolute barrier, because when students leave school, they do not know how to navigate to get to these targeted industry populations, which have been defined by New York State Empire State Development, that these are the target industries in the Hudson Valley and in Ulster County that we want to put people into. So this program will not put college-bound students that when they graduate from SUNY Ulster with a two-year degree or a four-year degree from SUNY New Paltz, they're trainable to go into our career pathway in the industry. But that 55% of these people that aren't making it through community college, there's no pathway to get them into these jobs. I'm putting them in my jobs right now, and we are master craftsmen, and they are succeeding in apprenticeship programs. So what we're doing is we're going to pull the entire county together, including education all the way through these target industry sectors. Those red arrows you see there are pathways that we have to define and get our community of support services, get our post-secondary education, get our industry partners, get our industries, not just manufacturing, and our school system to all work together in a seamless transition. And we're gonna develop this whether we get funding or not, because I'm going to push this forward until this happens. But on June 15th, we're going to be doing this type of setup of our training in our county. And there's pathways that we'll create together to bring everything together so we have a transition plan. So when students leave school, they have pathways that work through the County Office of Employment and Training, as well as helping economic development in the Office of Tourism.
So Frankie, just real quick, tell me the difference between the red and blue again, please.
The blue is support services.
Okay, thank you.
And the community is going to play a big role in this. I work with a lot of the different schools. I work with Kingston High School. They have a wonderful network of all these little mom and pop and little not-for-profits that exist in Kingston that nobody knows about. And they do gardening, and they do kids with things with kids through K through 12. And they don't have connections to industry jobs. Mm-hmm. And we got to pull this all together so everybody's coordinated, which will be done through this county, through the county. It's mm-hmm. the only entity. Industry can't do this. Education can't do this. Post-secondary. So we have to have the county come together and actually put this together as a coordinated effort. Mm-hmm. This can be done. This will be done.
So Frank, and can we have a million dollars?
We can go to get this.
So are you laying out the framework for the Workforce Innovation Center?
It wasn't my intent.
I just don't actually understand what the
But that would be super to have this one. Because I'm going over to the offices that are over there. I see OPWDD, which is for getting people with disabilities into.
So hang on one second. Amanda, could you connect the dots for me? Because I'm not quite understanding what this presentation in relationship
well,
to what you
said. Well, it's the funding that Frank and the Workforce Development Board has identified, and it's actually ESD funding. It's this relatively new office called the Office of Strategic Workforce Development, would fund curriculum development. So the curriculum development is like the form of the major first step in the form of the Workforce Innovation Center.
Okay.
Because it would look at kind of creating the network and also creating the programming and credentials. They can be credit courses, they can't be for a degree, to actually have people take the coursework in order to then be prepared.
Okay, I get it. So we're talking about the curriculum for this program.
Yes.
I didn't understand the framework of what you were talking about.
At statewide conferences this process.
Okay.
I have counties out in central New York that are interested in doing this, and I said, nope, we're going to do this in my home county first. We're going to figure out how to make this work, and then we'll use this as a model for the rest of the counties in this state.
But it's really the process of working on the grant and the grant development will also bring these partners together.
Yep.
We'll be able to kind of look at this and then think about strategically then what else the Workforce Innovation Center could be. But I see this as it's $1 million that's available now on a rolling basis. It would allow the curriculum development, and this would be the first step in really creating the programming that would be the Workforce Innovation Center. But to have already, this is consistent as far as barriers go with everything else that we're hearing, that the disconnect between K-12 and above, how you have to have very strong connections to the community. The Workforce Development Board for this county is an amazing group of people who really span a wide range of industry and businesses, as well as union, different representatives from the community, and they really have their fingers into the community and understand this. So working and building from the Workforce Development Board, I think, is absolutely the place where this programming needs to come from. So this is, and the reason for, hopefully next month you would see perhaps a resolution authorizing submittal for the grant, along with perhaps a lease at the same time, but that this becomes, it's here. We just have to shape this a little bit into the Workforce Innovation Center.
I talked with the state, with Michigan. Somehow they found, with my state presentation, they found out about it. And this is of interest to other states as well as New York State. But this is my home. We've been in business 77 years. We've always resided in the town of Ulster. This is a plan that has to be, and the only people that can coordinate this and make this happen is the Ulster County Workforce Development Board and its employment agency, Office of Employment and Training. There's no other entity out there, especially when we can fund it with federal dollars, which is the first chart. And they will, that federal dollars will only fund this 55% group. Okay. So to get this to be sustaining, we have to get the federal government with Senator Schumer, other good Senator Gillibrand, other people in Congress at the New York State level to make this into a record, a part of the legislation for the next 10 years.
And so I'm going to keep asking the questions. I'm sorry.
Please.
So the Workforce Development Board, is it a board?
It has to be 51% private sector individuals.
So how many people are on the board?
Right now, there's probably about 20.
Are they paid?
No.
So it's a non-paid board.
Right. And then there's a certain number of labor unions. The Ulster County Community College is on it. OCS is on it.
So are we talking about hiring this board to come in and work with us?
No, the
board will voluntarily come and work with us?
This board is the county board that helps program the money that comes to OET. Like, this is the county board that already exists and has a relationship with OET.
Yeah, I don't know anything about this board.
We have the
executive appointed?
No. The board goes out to the community, and right now, I'm past chair, and I want to get young people in there, and we're making an active effort to bring young professionals in on this board to take our place.
But this is a county board.
It's a county-wide board.
But it's not county, it's not Ulster County government board.
No.
It's not county.
It's a private board.
No, it's managed by New York State Department of Labor. They give us all our requirements. They fund us completely. They also give us all our what we have to do, what we're allowed to do, what we're not allowed to do. Right now, New York State doesn't know about this program or this plan because they haven't seen it, and they will not fund it because it's not in the federal legislation. Okay, so there's going to be, that's why this $1 million grant will be for 2 years. You have to spend it in 2 years. You got to start this work within 6 months of being awarded the grant. Everything on this chart is exactly what they want to fund. They just have never seen a plan like this before.
What would the $1 million be used for? Infrastructure?
So the Workforce Development Board, if that happens to be the entity, it also could be Ulster County. There could be another entity in Ulster County that can apply for this. We don't know exactly what the county wants to do. That's up to the legislature as well as the county executive. I'm not speaking for Amanda because Amanda knows this. This is her area of expertise. But to answer your question, the Workforce Development Board, every year we have to hire contractors to do our work. Okay, so there's no training people that are in the Workforce Development Board or Office of Employment and Training. We have to hire contractors to do this. So this $1 million would be used to help us build curriculum and also to market the program. The marketing is going to be huge to bring the whole community together. But we're going to start this work now with volunteers, and we're not going to expect to get this grant probably till end of the year if we submit our proposal by the September 29th deadline. So we're going to go forward with this, but we want the county to submit a proposal to New York State Empire State Development to help us actually do this and be a model for the Mid-Hudson Valley as well as for the rest of the state. And we've got to get this done by this time next year.
And you want it on Tech City grounds?
It would be very helpful if everything was coordinated in one location. It surely would. I go over into those buildings over there.
You're saying even other states are interested in this. So
other states would do it in their own way, in their own manner, but we could create the model for them.
But you're here saying you want it here on Tech City now.
I'm not saying Tech City. But it would make sense to me as a business person that we have one place to go to get all our resources for training.
And
but you're on the agenda for I-Park 87, right? Status of recent activity.
So this is
so it's just not on the agenda.
I didn't put them on the agenda.
Oh, okay. No.
The partnerships, because the partnerships are integral to this, that's why also it makes sense with the Workforce Innovation Center, because you'd have BOCES, you'd have SUNY New Paltz, you'd have SUNY Ulster, you have the partners co-located with our Office of Employment and Training. And that's where we see the synergies from being together in the same in a same location to be able to anchor that curriculum. And again, I think
let me give you one example, and I'm really putting SUNY Ulster on the spot. Okay, one of the best trainees we can go after are people that have tried to go to 2 years of college and haven't been able to do that, either because they had family problems, they didn't have the finances to do it, They just weren't in the right, when they came out of high school, they were too immature. So they all fall by the wayside. And right now, to my knowledge, there's no pathway that when someone leaves a matriculated program at SUNY Ulster, that they have a place to direct that person to get some support services and then also to get some training, figure out what they want to do. There's no seamless movement of these individuals that aren't finishing 2 years of college. Let me also tell you that every student that goes to this program must go to community college, because manufacturers, we have a strong partnership with SUNY Ulster, and we have to teach apprenticeship programs, and our apprenticeship programs send our employees to SUNY Ulster for training. So this 55% of the workforce population can't make it through 2 years of college, and industry will work with the county, because we have our own training programs. I have a whole presentation I gave statewide that explains how we do this at the industry level with our community colleges. This is the pathway to find these students in faith organizations that are in these churches that don't know where they're going to put these young men and young women that are struggling to find pathways to employment. We have the industries all marked out. We can figure out what jobs they need. We can figure out the training programs. That's what this grant will help us do. And it'll help us reach into the community and find these people that we can't find right now. Or they're out there, but they fail. We got to give them a second chance. This is what this is all about. Chris.
As a tenant in Frank's building for over 10 years, I just wanted to mention how passionate Frank is about our community and engineering. And you mentioned 77 years with your family here, but if I was upstairs working and someone came to visit, I would interrupt Frank, and he would always stop what he's doing to do a full tour of the facility. And I was amazed by how they were making not only screws for engines, but full engines. And someone would give him a drawing and say, here's what we can do to bring this idea to life. So I think Frank is doing it because he loves Ulster County and the region. Even the machine that you all invented with the water, that as water comes down anything, you can capture that energy. And they're teaching people how to recirculate energy into full cycle loops. Mm-hmm. So I think everything you're doing there is impressive, and I hope that the whole energy can spread onto the campus.
But this is going to be a county-wide effort.
I hope you're not finding my questions disrespectful.
No.
I'm trying to really understand the connection between Ulster County and what you're talking about. And so I'm on this local workforce development website right now, and it's listing Sharon Williams as the director of the Ulster County Office of Employment and Training and Workforce Development.
She couldn't make it this evening. She had a family commitment.
So she's the president of the board.
And she's our county employee who's head of the Office of Employment and Training.
And she's appointed by the county.
Yeah.
Okay.
She goes to our committee meetings.
No, I know Sharon. Okay. I know Sharon quite well. But okay. What I never heard of was this board.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that proves Frank's point, right?
So I'm not understanding, like, okay, so this Workforce Innovation Center is going to work through our own county economic development office in partnership with what you're hoping to do with this $1 million grant and your organization.
To really truthfully answer your question.
Yeah.
The Workforce Summit, all the people that are coming there, and we're going to have at least, last time I think we had like 60 people, first time, our first week, we intentionally made it 30. I'm inviting supervisors from all the different school districts in Ulster County. We're trying to get people from New Paltz College now are coming from their Benjamin Center. We're trying to get everyone there, and we're all going to figure this out together. This can't be some. I have plans on how we would do this, and I can give them a straw man, which means that this is a starting point of this is how we could do it. But they're going to figure this out. We're all going to figure this out together. What's most important is we have to understand what each does and what funding streams they have, so that we can make sure that. And by the way, all the agencies that are here will not receive $1 because we're going to use their training dollars, their employment dollars, their support dollars that we have now. That's what makes this very unique in terms of application to New York State. We're not asking them to fund a new program. We're asking them to take the dollars that they spend now by state, economic development, workforce training, support services from U.S. Health and Human Services, take their existing programs and just connect them all together so everybody's coordinated and everybody knows everybody and everybody knows what to do when a young person comes in with a certain skill set or lacks a certain skill set and wants to go and become a nurse. We know exactly how to put them through our system. We know exactly where training would be. We know how to support them. None of this is connected. So we're not spending any new dollars. We're using the dollars we have now more efficiently. We're coordinating everybody so everybody knows everybody. This is what this whole program will be about. It's not going to spend new money. It's going to create this network.
But we're still working out the kinks and connecting it all.
We are still working on the program.
But we're already talking about the lease.
But because they need to happen simultaneously. And but what I want to say is that this is where, you know, this is not, like, frankly, like a grant application that's going to be written in a vacuum. You know, this is, there's a lot of experience and thought behind how this system is, kind of works currently, and where the barriers are, where we can leverage the existing programming and dollars, and then where we can go after the new opportunities, like with this workforce grant is through the Empire State Development. It's not through DOL, and kind of look at the programming that could support the industries that will be here, but they will also support, you know, other functions, and also not just give technical skills, but also the soft skills that are very, very important to employment. So just seeing how those things kind of come together and nest together. But it is important because there is some need for expedience here. And so that's why it's so important to kind of at the same time as lining up space to be working on and to be able to develop the programming.
Why is there a need to rush?
There's the deadlines for the grant,
the deadline
for one thing.
The next grant has to be submitted by September 29th.
Yeah.
So after our summit, we have these, and that other chart I showed you, we have all these committees, and they're all volunteers. No one's getting paid to do this.
How long have you been working on this?
Since July of last year. This is our third summit.
This is
the first time anybody's seen this.
So go ahead. Thank
you.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is there an opportunity for a partnership with probation or...
Everybody.
Okay.
If I had a connection, I would invite them to that.
Okay. Is that what it is?
Yep.
Okay.
I met somebody when they had this announcement with the governor. I sat next to someone from probation down in Port Jervis. And I said, what are you doing here? She says, and she told me about this great program they have for these people and try to get them back into society after being released. I have no connection in this area. So this is all going to come about through this summit.
Speaking of the governor announcement, she mentioned 400 to 500 houses being built, and it made me think about the underemployed people in Midtown, for example. What are we doing to engage people who live here already?
Well, that's what this has. There's a committee. This is the committee that I'm on, which is number three, which is engaging historically excluded populations in the workforce.
Great, thank you.
So we can link them up with training. We can create the training programs that they don't exist. We can put them in with the resources, with the support services. I'll tell you a fact, because my business is right here. I have employees that have come through the disability community that now are in apprenticeship programs that can't afford to drive a car. So unfortunately, 4 or 5 times a day, there's a bus service that comes right over here in this parking lot over here, and that's how they get to work. And this one young man who's in an apprenticeship program, he still up in Sorbetes until his landlord wanted to take over the building for some reason, so we found him a place in Midtown Kingston, and he gets to work by the bus. So this having this central bus transportation system here is a godsend for my company. But a lot of these manufacturers don't live or don't have businesses close by. They're scattered all over Kingdom Come. You don't know about them because they're on the back roads where rents are cheaper when they built their facilities originally. So transportation's an issue.
Thank you.
That's all going to be part of this initiative, is how do we figure out those solutions.
Perfect, thanks.
I'm sorry for taking all your time.
No, it's okay. I think it's important.
A lot of fun, but I can give you so many presentations, and I can show you details of how this is all going to be done, but not today. If anyone's interested in learning about this grant for $1 million, I'll say that these are...
Frank, if you have that soft copy, could you mail it?
I would be happy to mail it. I'll send it to Amanda and let her distribute it however she wants.
Are we invited to the Workforce Summit?
Certainly. I've got my invitations, but if... I work with Sharon, and I'm trying to invite as many people as available that have an interest in this. Let me get you my business. Can you contact Amanda? She'll get hold of me.
So, Frank, I just want to take a moment and, first of all, thank you for spending some time from your busy day and enlightening us with this program. I think it's excellent, and I think that, it's really the perfect timing. You know, you've been working on it for a year, right? And now we're at a point where we might be able to, incorporate that into what the county would like to do, along with the education element in the county here. And I think it's perfect timing. And the other thing I want to say is that, I've lived around here for a very long time, and I went to school with your brother, high school with your brother. And, your family has consistently, over time, been great supporters of this community, and especially in areas like this where you're looking at people of disadvantage who need help in other ways, be it financially, mental or physical disabilities. You folks have always been in the forefront helping people, and I just want to take a moment and say thank you for what you've contributed to our community personally over a long, long time.
Thank you very much.
Yes.
So if you would like to be invited to this, Sharon Williams can send you an invitation tomorrow. It's fun invitation.
Thanks.
Yeah. Amanda will help us. Sharon reports to Amanda. We'll get you invited. Thank you for your time. I'm sorry for keeping you so long.
Oh, this is great.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
They're community partners.
That was the best explanation of all the feedback I've heard in a long time.
That was great. Okay. All right, so we have a semi-short agenda for the rest of the meeting tonight here, so we'll get into the resolutions. Resolutions number 86 and 87 are postponed one more time. The attorneys between the IDA and the county are having a hard time syncing up to get the kinks worked out of the contract. I spoke to Vicki and to IDA Chair Mike Hamm about this, and they both are, understand that, we're becoming a little bit anxious. This has been on our agenda, I think, for 4 months now, and we keep pushing it. So, we're gonna get this settled here one way or the other. If they can't come to some sort of resolution, I'm gonna ask the IDA to go somewhere else, because, this is just ridiculous.
Like another county?
No, hopefully not. No. Hopefully not. I don't mean the IDA their administration, the administrative part of this. Because they're also close to hiring an executive director. They've narrowed it down. They have 20-some applicants, and I read that they're down to like 7 or 8 in their final choosing. Very much like what we did with the IDA board, right? They whittled it down, and they're finding candidates there. So hopefully they get a new energetic executive there. Resolution 329 is authorizing the continuation of Ag District. Oh, wait a minute. I'll make a motion to postpone resolutions number 86 and 87.
Motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you. Resolution number 329, authorizing the continuation of Ag District number 2, the Walk Hill River in the towns of Esopus, Gardner, New Paltz, Platte Hill, Rosendale, Schoenwald, and the Village of New Paltz for the Department of Planning.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Resolution number 4, 330, dedicating the funding to housing affordability, establishing a policy for its use, and authorizing the release of a notice of funding availability for 2023 for the Department of Planning. So I forwarded along an email to the committee late this afternoon that we got from the chair of the Housing Committee, Legislator Uchitel, with some changes that they want to make to this agreement that the request was that we pass it in this committee and then let the Housing Committee and then Ways and Means look at the changes. And I was okay with that initially, but then I saw the changes and I thought, no, I think you guys should have an opportunity to look at them. There's 7 bullets that are I like the way Peter described it earlier. I can't remember what it said, but it was like these, you know, like six words that we really don't know what they mean, you know. And so we have to take a look at those and hopefully, you know, get a better understanding of what those changes are. Again, you guys all have it in your email. It came out late this afternoon. I discussed it with Abe. He was not happy. I'll tell you that. You know, it's, you know, he was challenging why we were looking at it anyway. It's because it's got to go through the Department of Planning, right? So there's some contention about whether or not the updates have been made at timely fashion from the executive's office, all that stuff. So with all that said, I said, well, okay, so we'll put the brakes on here, and we'll take another month. I request that we postpone this for a month until we have an opportunity to first read the email and the changes that Abe's going to make, and they're going to make those proposed changes in their committee next week. And once they do that, we'll have a resolution the way it's going to be finalized. Then we can look at it again next month. Okay. Yeah.
Chair, what, I'm not on this committee. I am on the housing committee. I'm interested, would the committee be interested to, like, have a special meeting maybe in a week after you've seen what we do in our committee, and then you will have had that time to look? But that would enable us to possibly not have to delay on what this is, but
yeah,
it's still a week's time.
I don't know that we want to have a special committee meeting for that resolution. I mean, it's a month. I don't know, is there a compelling reason why we can't wait a month?
Just that we're in a housing emergency.
Right. And so what would change in a month? That's my question. What would be the compelling argument other than our housing emergency would continue for another 30 days?
That's just it. People losing their homes, can't afford basics in this county right now, and anything we can do to alleviate that today is what I would urge us to do.
And I appreciate that. And like I said, so, you know, we have the email with the changes, and they're going to be made, and, you know, maybe after we see it, if the committee wants to send an email back around and you want to hold a special committee meeting just to consider that, we would do that. I'll leave it up to the committee members to get back to me if they'd like to hold a special meeting for that. I'll send an email out after we get the revised resolution from the housing committee from Abe.
I appreciate and
then
that.
From there, we'll send it around and ask if the committee would be willing to have a special meeting on that.
Okay. Yeah, I do feel I'm willing.
Okay.
Just go ahead and send it around so we can do it through email if you'd like.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
I'm saying you don't have to all say it now, but
send
out an email. But I'm supportive.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. There you go.
I just want to offer that we did do a special meeting with the housing committee. We're more than willing to make a presentation to this committee to have a discussion about the changes. I know that there's internal discussions going on with respect to the proposed changes with the executive's office. We're not sure where we land on all the changes that are being proposed in terms of whether they're acceptable or not acceptable on some of those changes, which are quite significant in some areas and not so significant in others. And there's some clarifications that we've, after looking at the resolution, that we may want to make. But if anybody has questions in terms of why certain things are written in certain ways, why the changes are there, those kinds of things, we'd be more than willing to have those conversations and talk to individual legislators if that's a request or the committee as a whole.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you read the email, you see there are pretty significant changes to what's been presented so far. And, you know, so initially I said, Abe, no, we'll try and try and get it passed for the reasons, you know, the urgency of housing. But then after we saw this, after I saw it, you know, I got back out and said, no, I don't think we can do that without, I mean, here's the list of changes if you want to see, Phil, that Abe suggested that.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, Peter.
So I'm obviously aware of the housing emergency that we're in, and I want to do everything everything we can possibly do to alleviate anyone's pain or problems. But I guess what I'm wondering is, to sort of follow up on what the chair is asking, is there a practical thing, an actual practical project that we are holding up by not approving this month and giving us the time to get this policy correct? Is there something that's in the queue that if we don't approve this policy, we'll get halted?
I think what Phil's saying, and I don't necessarily disagree with Phil's point because I have a lot of questions, but I think what Phil's saying is, if you wait another month, no matter, let's say we break ground in 2 years,
it'll be we'll be breaking ground in theory a month earlier.
Right.
And in 1 year and 11 months rather than 2 years, is Phil's point. Right. By delaying, you're ultimately delaying something, even if you don't know what it is. But I have enough questions to be okay with the postponement. I do think we should call more special meetings. I don't know if a special meeting, a quick special meeting is going to get the kind of, that we need to be prepared to dive in the way we wanted to. I don't know, but I think that's Phil's point.
Can I actually ask Phil to answer my question? Like, is there something practical that is holding, because I want to know that. Like, if there's something that we're holding up, I want to understand that.
Permission?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, I think Legislator Maloney is basically summing up what I have to say. I might refer that to the administration, actually, what they have in mind in executing whatever it is that we might have. I mean, we have resolutions before us this month concerning the establishment of a housing action fund, like the county executive had presented to the housing committee. We have the old resolution dedicating funds to housing justice, which maybe wraps into that. There's projects that have been in the works for a long time that we're still trying to make sure continue on schedule. And I don't really know the answer, but I think it's just any...
That would sway me to have a special meeting to move this forward if there was actually something that we were trying to not stall.
Right. Yeah.
But if we're not, if there's nothing that's in that place, I think getting this policy correct is the smartest thing to do.
I agree.
Agreed.
Okay. So with that, someone want to make a motion to postpone 3:30 for 1 month?
I'll make the motion to postpone.
Second, Legislator Litz. All those in favor of postponement?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. The next one is the Ulster County Community College 2023-2024 budget. And so I think that you folks spoke to Vicki today about postponing this a month because we want to do it after the public hearing.
That was me.
Oh, Michael, sorry. Yeah. So did you guys speak to Michael today?
I did not. I'm sorry. I got an email.
Okay, yeah. So what we'd like to do is wait till we have the public hearing before we vote on it, but that's not going to prevent you guys from going over a high level of what you want here tonight. That'll be okay. I mean, too much information is never a problem, right? You know, so we really wanted to wait till we can't vote on it till we have the public hearing, basically, right?
Okay.
Which is typically what we do. Right, I think there's been a case where we had one time where we did it on the same day for some reason or another. But you know, typically we like to have the public hearing, have an opportunity to hear and digest anything that comes up in the public hearing, if anything does, and then incorporate that possibly into you know our resolution to approve the budget. Right. So if you guys want to just
in the interest of time, and for those that don't know me, I'm Allison Buckley. I am the new president of SUNY Ulster. I am here today with wonderful backup Vice President Capuano is out, so you have the third string in me, but ably supported. I don't know, we did have some slides. Do we look at those? If not, I can...
If I can interrupt, did you guys have something that you wanted to mail to us that we could look at email or no?
Probably doesn't work as well with
okay.
the email. They were
That's
just
fine.
The graphics
yeah. okay.
of where we are. But if we don't have those, I can kind of talk through
That's
them.
Fine. That's fine.
And I will... yeah, and probably I can paint the picture. So the budget that we are asking the legislature to consider for 23-24 it's a moderate increase of a 3% budget increase. That is budget increase is primarily driven by inflationary costs, fuel, electricity. We have contractual increases in salary and increases in benefits. There is in our budget an $876,000 draw from the fund balance, largely because the federal support that was coming in through COVID relief is now gone. So in our budget request, we are proposing a small increase in tuition revenue, and that would be $100 per semester for a full-time student. Small increase in fees, for example, our technology fee, so keeping pace with inflation that we've noticed, just the costs have gone up. And we are very respectfully asking the county for an increase in the maintenance of effort for $500,000. So the tuition, I do want to just share the tuition increases of it's $100 per semester for our full-time students, it's $20 per credit for our part-time. That is well under the increase in the federal Pell Grant, and it still keeps SUNY Ulster below the state average in tuition costs. We are forecasting a slight increase in enrollment. We are seeing more full-time students versus part-time from the other folks we know in SUNY. We attribute that to the fact that the college came back on ground faster than many of our sister community colleges, which is helping us respond more quickly. But we still, and this I think fits with some of the conversations we had earlier, a number that often surprises folks last year in 21-22, SUNY Ulster served 6,000 students. About half of those students were credit and about half were non-credit. When you look at state funding, so you know our major revenue, tuition, the county support, and the state, Albany did pass the floor funding, which is based on FTE. So for those 6,000 students, that's only 1,500 FTE for Albany. But a part-time student requires just as much bandwidth and just as much tutoring. And the mental health supports that we see are so critical. And while I do appreciate the floor funding model, it does not allow us to absorb any of the inflationary costs or any of our contractual upgrades. So those are, I would say, high level. I do, I should also mention at a high level, we have taken some steps to reduce expenses. The College Foundation is very generously supporting our upgrade to the new student information system. So the foundation is supporting, allowing us to offset about $120,000 of those costs. Vice President Capuano has built a position, a budget variance for positions in this budget, which we haven't done in the past. We know it is taking us longer to hire than in the past, so that's providing some expense reductions. And we're really looking at those in addition to asking our staff to truly look at what we can do. But we know for students to be successful, they need the support, and this is the year we really feel the loss of the federal COVID funds. The last thing I will say, we currently have early college students. We are going to be sunsetting that waiver of tuition, so for students who are in high school but do their senior year on campus at SUNY Ulster, we have been waiving that tuition, which this is a compliance issue, and statutorily we should not be waiving that, so we will gradually be sunsetting that and asking the College Foundation to help support, so we are both in compliance and supporting these students. But I am happy to answer any questions.
Yep.
Will you still offer the same bridge program?
for the high school?
We will still offer it. It would just, we will move to the point where it would be a tuition program. Oh, the bridge.
Collegiate.
Oh, collegiate, yes. Yeah. Sorry, I thought the one, yes, we are still offering collegiate at the same, there's no change in that.
I did mention bridge, because my niece was in the bridge program with Ron Dowden and Sunny Ulster.
So, the I think the bridge one...
It's, yeah, the bridge program, the early college
that's,
program.
That's the one that we're changing.
Thank you.
Legislator Maloney, then Legislator Criswell.
Did you lose some sports programs, or how are your sports programs?
They are going well. It's been a building year for women's basketball, so they were recruiting and practicing. It was a tough season for our men's team, but... it was wonderful. We didn't have enough students to field the baseball team this year, but we are recruiting and building to hopefully do that next year. In the fall, men's soccer went all the way to the NJCAA National Conference in a nail biter of a final, like in the last minute of the game, they lost. So women's soccer in the fall as well. So we still have the golf team. We've been fielding wrestling as well.
Because I know a lot of people, whether it's daycare possibilities, the arts, sports is something that I know a lot of guys, including myself, that may not have ended up getting a college degree if it wasn't to go play first at the community college team to get a look. I ended up getting a look from a D3 team. I went to school. I played with guys that ended up getting D1 scholarships that at high school didn't have that kind of, it's important. And it's all about, for junior college, all the recruiting, I was playing with kids from Canada, New York City, and it all came down to the coach recruiting. It just comes down to the coach on the junior college level. And if it's ever, I mean, it's a couple of thousand dollars here or there. If you guys end up having issues, I think we'd probably be willing to, you know, put some money into some of these sporting things to make sure that we continue on with every sport that's been there for years. But I think it's underestimated at times how many people end up going to school, going to community college because they want to continue their athletic career.
It's also very important for success and completion because community for student athletes are full-time and you have an additional support network that are supporting you through that. You learn valuable skills about teamwork and grit and perseverance. So it also helps support the academic mission. So I would encourage anyone if you want to come and cheer them on, we would love to have you on campus.
Mr. Criswell?
I have a couple of specific questions about the expenses. So $250,000 in bad debt expense. Can you just talk a little bit about that? $76.50.
I came prepared. So
sorry, we were asked to look and...
Yeah, no, those are the bad debt expenses, and Amy, if please feel free. Amy Winters is here with us today, our dean of the administration, and Jen Zell, chief of staff. But when you have students who either did not pay their full tuition bill, and it's an expense at the end, or students who lost financial aid eligibility at various points in the semester, if they drop out before a certain point, you have to send their Pell Grant back to the U.S. Department of Education, and those expenses are just
That just seemed like a high number to me.
It's actually for a community college,
really?
All.
I've never budgeted a community college, so I don't know. But
the return to Title IV is a very cruel...
Okay.
A cruel lever from the Department of Education.
The other question I have was, what's Ellucian for $430,000?
That is our student information system.
Okay.
So it's everything from transcripts, grades, courses, the whole, basically our network. And that is part of, as we upgrade to the current system we have, will no longer be supported very shortly, and that upgrade is being supported by the foundation.
Okay, and fuel costs are up, it seems like $150,000.
It is, as a new president, I will tell you, What you don't do in other BP jobs is physically sign the checks. And that is the colleges on oil heat. And all of our electricity, our fuel costs have just really gone up in the past few years.
So we've been talking so much about solar, how can we, you know, get off of oil? Are those conversations ongoing?
We've also had some conversations on the potential of perhaps using wells for geothermal. It doesn't look like we have enough wells or deep enough wells for the geothermal, but we are very much trying to find ways to exit.
It'd be so great to get away from being down
and drinking. I signed that check, and I tell everyone to. I sound like my dad in the 70s. You know, lower the thermostat, put a sweater on.
I just two other questions. So there's an IT contract for. It's called Other Contracts, and it's $482,000.
That's the upgrade.
So
is that Amy?
That's the other part of Eleusinian. So Eleusinian also is our IT department, staffing of IT, contractual relationship.
Okay, got it. And then you have general insurance for $300,000, and I just wonder, do you shop that around every year?
I think it's gone up a little bit lately with some cyber insurance.
Oh, your car,
yeah. Sure. The IT, risk we have to insure for.
Okay. All right, those are my big questions.
Anybody else have? Let me ask Phil, since I'm a member of the committee. I have a couple questions first, if you don't mind. So, with the contribution of $500,000 from the county, the maintenance of effort, it's supposed to be traditionally spread 33-33-33 between tuition, the state, and the county government. I think this actually is as close as we've been to that split in my memory in 20 years almost here, right?
Okay. I have, this percent of the, right now, we're at 25.44% is the county share, so we are moving closer, which as a percentage of the total operating expenses when you look at the other colleges within our region is out of the seven, we are the second to the lowest at that point. So
but with the 500,000 contribution, that would take it from 27 to roughly what? Do you guys know?
I think from 25.4 to 27.3.
And then the tuition is what?
The tuition, we were, again, also the, the second lowest. So right now we are 5 out of 7 in tuition. Looking at, it's still, everyone's tuition is still in flux. So rather than being 5, which is the low end of the middle, we're at 3, which is the high end of that kind of middle 7. So we would be at 5280 a year.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking like the split, the thirds, right? Because I'd really like to, I know
we are getting very, very close.
We can't control what the state does. However, the floor makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. It helps a lot, right, when we know that, right? And what we've done with tuition, trying to keep it low for a long, long time, trying our best to keep tuition low.
And I think just trying to, we're even still staying below that increase of the federal Pell Grant.
Because I think at some point we should really, get to that.
Yeah.
Get to what it should be, a third, a third, a third, right? And if we can do that.
We would very much appreciate it.
And the state doesn't have to change much because we can affect that percentage by what we do, right?
So it would be, I would love the state to change a few things.
Yeah, right. So the second thing I wanted to ask about, in discussions previously you and I have had, you talked a little bit about being a little bit more aggressive with grants for the college in the coming years, right?
So one of, there are a few things that sort of fit nicely with the speakers earlier, and part of the mission of the college is really looking at the poverty rates in Ulster County are higher, 13.8, 12.7, and we also know that this county has 62,000 residents who are over the age of 25, who do not have a post-secondary credential, and there is an intersection between poverty and education. There are about 50, the estimate is about 50,000 residents in the county are eligible for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And so what we are very much focused on is how do we support the residents right here in Ulster County get the credentials they need to get a family-sustaining wage. One of the grants that we are we have been approved that we are working on, the federal agriculture bill that provides funding for SNAP programs also provides programs for educational and training providers. So when you have programs that are really trying to tackle this systemic poverty through education. And we were awarded a technical assistance grant from the Association of Community College Trustees to become a SNAP E&T provider. And for example, in the Kingston Center, we have a program, New Start for Women, which is designed for those women who are struggling to find work while supporting their family. In that program, all but one of the participants qualified for SNAP. And what we could do, then the federal government actually, when you become an E&T provider, starts reimbursing you for what we are already spending to support this program. And so our goal this year with the SNAP E&T, E and not ear, nose, and throat, first couple of times you hear it, is to look at how we can leverage the training, and it fits with workforce. It fits with the large percentage of those living in poverty are individuals with disabilities, and the work we've done with manufacturing and partnerships on apprenticeship programs so that we can be leading to family sustaining wages is critical. So we are excited about that, and I think it would be a way to help us do well and do good.
So are there other grants on the horizon that you guys have your eyes on that you think you could maybe take advantage of?
The SNAP one could be very significant for the college. I think Chris Marks, who's our Vice President for Workforce, is on the web and has been working in with this work for, if you go to the...
we know Chris.
If you go to the summit, you will see him there and looking at the other grants that we can do with that. So we have a number right now from Perkins. We want to be very measured at this point as we pursue grants, that they are grants that we can fully support, that have a meaningful and direct impact on the bottom line, right, that we aren't chasing, we aren't spending a dollar to earn a nickel.
That's
so
right.
Being a little disciplined on what we go after and how that fits the mission is going to be critical.
Great. Thank you. Anyone else have any questions? Phil, I think you had a question.
Yes. Thank you. President Dr. Buckley, I heard you say you love to, for the state to change a few things. I'd love to hear more about that sometime. I did read the summary of your budget report, not the full budget yet, and I saw your criticism of the state's floor funding model, for example, which I would love to, for us in the legislature to know what else we could advocate for the state to change. I know there's been some talk about free community college, maybe for in-county residents, or maybe even totally, but my question is, given the current funding and structure, and how would you say the affordability is overall for the students?
So it's a great question. I think the number one thing that I wish, if I had a magic wand, that I would want to change is the state's funding is all based on FTEs,
mm-hmm.
and we have 1,500 FTEs, but that equates to 6,000 individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just, what I have said to SUNY, an FTE model works if you're a traditional university where students are going full-time. in a community college where students are holding, many of them have a full-time job, a part-time job, are supporting elder parents and children. They're not going to be successful if you ask them to go full-time. So I think having a funding model that actually reimburses on your students, not how many credits they take, would be my number one wish if President Biden had me on speed dial. But when it comes to college affordability, what I think is also very critical for any college to watch is that Pell Grant number. So that is what the Department of Education thinks is a bare minimum that it costs. And even the Department of Education would say, we know a Pell Grant is not going to cover what it takes to educate a student. But right now, when our tuition is at $5,100 or $5,200 and the Pell Grant is at $75,000, there is a mismatch there. And I think what happens and what we have seen in a post-pandemic world is we know what it costs to support these students. What COVID has shown us is the tutoring, the academic support, the mental health issues that we had when we had that increased funding. We really need to be resourcing the support well enough for students to be successful. And the number one thing when it comes to a policy issue that improves the number of students who go to college is more students filling out a FAFSA.
Yeah.
And why that is critical is because too often our students are leaving money on the table.
Mm.
So if it's, you know, we will see in my office emergency grant applications of students who the fact that they don't have tires for their car means they are going to have to drop out of college. And when you sit down and have a conversation, they will say, well, I didn't even fill out a FAFSA because why? And I was like, because it's
tires on
$7,000 of money on the table. So my mission is to get everybody to fully exercise their rights to post-secondary education by leveraging those federal dollars. And as president, what I think my job is really, how do we get the maximum federal dollars? How do we advocate effectively for state dollars and help our students find a way to pay for college? And foundation, we have an incredibly generous foundation in Ulster County that this year is poised award $1 million in scholarships to our students. So how do we bring all of these together so that cost is not the barrier to education?
I wish you were more passionate about
that. So we should have Mr. Pallott and add FAFSA to his list of things on the other side of the brick wall for sure, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
That is
Legislator
the...
Sperry.
Just in the realm of leveraging resources, I know that one of the biggest issues at SUNY New Paltz is childcare and the child care center, so I'm assuming that's a big deal for your students. Also, I know as far as developing relationships and mentorship and, you know, tutoring students, it's really helpful if there's full-time faculty, right? Because adjuncts are busy. They're adjuncting like I did as a permit adjunct at all of the community colleges, and so they're not as available as a student might need them to be. So I'm just wondering, I think I asked this last time the budget came around, like what's your proportion of full-time faculty to contingent faculty, and then what are you doing to address the childcare situation, and also I'm assuming you guys are having to deal with the housing issues as well.
So I think if I could tackle the childcare first, because in some ways it is easier. So we have a child care center on campus. What is very unusual about SUNY Ulster versus, for one thing, we still have a college child care center.
Mm-hmm.
Most community colleges during COVID closed them.
Mm-hmm.
Ours has stayed open. What SUNY Ulster does, which frankly I have never seen at another community college and did it before I came and I think is brilliant, is we have special drop-in rates for our students. So you don't have to commit to 5 days a week or 4 days a week. You could drop off while you're in classes, and I am here. So it is a real commitment to making it affordable. We are also looking at there is space on campus as we target those 62,000 people over the age of 25 in the county.
That's crazy.
Is what is our space that is friendly for parenting students? So we're converting some study space, which isn't childcare, but you can come to campus with your little one and work on a group project with Wi-Fi. So, you know, I can still see you. It's not childcare, but I'm talking to my classmates and I'm using the library and you are with me.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be an either or. So we're going to be launching in this year our parenting student space. So we have 50 full-time faculty. We have significantly more still who are adjuncts, but we are very committed to, as best we can, maintaining that ratio. And I do completely agree, and I think one of the things that I am most proud of is our faculty is this notion of mentoring and being there.
Mm-hmm.
This year we launched a mentoring program for our students because the more connections you have in a place, the more likely you are to stay. So it works when you are in employment somewhere. And for our staff, the more you've got your people,
mm-hmm.
you're more likely to stay. So we have a volunteer mentoring program where our full-time faculty participate and they have students that aren't in their discipline. So, you know, we've got a chemistry professor. He's like, I don't want a STEM student. So, you know, let's take, he's got someone who's not sure, and you have conversations together. I had a student, Jen had a student, and it's this, you figure things out. I was brand new, my poor student. I don't know. Let's go see if we can find the answer to that. So we're really trying to really lean into that community aspect post-pandemic,
mm-hmm.
or if not post-endemic, as we adapt to an endemic world.
And so you had a question about adjunct versus full-time?
No, she addressed it, but about housing, because I know that one of the biggest issues that we have at New Pulse is faculty can't afford to live nearby, and so I have colleagues that are living up in Catskill or down in, you know, like Westchester County because they can't afford to be nearby. So is
so
that
the college's newest employee who relocated was yours truly. and it was, I will tell you, it was very challenging. Most, when we have hired staff and faculty, we are attracting people who are already here
mm-hmm.
who want to be at SUNY Ulster. I think I was the only, and it's challenging moving to Ulster County. Said we just had to find one spot, it was a little stressful, but we did. So I think it hasn't been, because we haven't been doing national searches, we are getting people who are already here
mm-hmm.
who want to be a part of the college.
Mm-hmm.
So it's challenging for our students, definitely. UCAT is tremendously important to our students.
Yeah.
And even working with the county on class schedulings and when buses come and when they don't, we have a number of students who live down in New Paltz. I just know that because that's my route home.
Mm-hmm.
So if, for example, the college had to close early because we had to turn the water off, and people are waiting for the bus, the unofficial bus down, I will take folks. But UCAT, I mean, every morning, those buses, the Kingston, and some of the people also who take the bus to Ellenville to the college will then take UCAT to Kingston to work.
Mm-hmm.
So they do, they stop, they take classes, they go up to Kingston, they work, and then they go home to Ellenville. So it is critically important for our students.
Okay. Anybody have any further questions for the college? And, yeah, I don't think we're going to have much after the public hearing, I'm telling you right now, for when we vote on this. I think we pretty much hammered it.
Well, if you think of any others, I'm happy to answer.
Yeah. So we're going to need a resolution to postpone, a motion to postpone 331 until next month.
So
second. thank you very much for wading through that and, you know, giving this presentation. It's very helpful to the committee. Thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So we'll see you at the public hearing.
That's right.
Okay. Before you go, we got two more for you here. Okay. All right. So 332. Well, at least one of them. 332, approving an increase in funding for capital project number 541, SUNY Ulster Facilities Equipment, and amending the 2023 Ulster County Capital Fund for Ulster County Community College. I don't have it in front of me, but I think it's 330, right, a bond?
For two trucks and plows, hybrid van, and the little utility vehicle that we use to plow, like the pathway and the quad. So it's green fleet and the utility vehicle.
So the green...
I'll move it for discussion.
Okay, move it for discussion. Okay, so the... So have you purchased any of this stuff yet? Or you...
No, we have not.
Okay,
no.
So you're going to...
This would be...
All right. So how much of that is actually green fleet? And how much is just replacing equipment?
So the van is green fleet. The trucks and the plows are replacing the equipment that really it was in desperate need of replacing. And then are they hybrid though, Annie? Do you know if the trucks are hybrid too?
Not the trucks, just the van. Okay.
The van.
Yep.
Okay.
Anybody have any other questions about that? So one other thing that, you know, has come up in the legislature quite frequently in the last, you know, year especially, has been the idea of creating a reserve fund rather than bonding and putting money aside, you know, for whatever the project is, right? Have you folks considered creating reserve funds for things like, you know, replacing your trucks and cars? And you know, in the next resolution, again, is another one that I will, you know, feel the same way about, you know, the signage one.
So I think one of the interesting things, and I am looking to my colleagues, is for these capital expenses, and we had a number, and you will notice in next year's budget, it's a decrease because we've kept up with deferred maintenance isn't exactly correct when you're talking about vehicles and... but we can also, with these, access the, in addition, capital expense through SUNY. And so it is timing those two and timing the support from the county with the SUNY support for capital, which gets us more bang for the buck than putting money away in another reserve fund.
But at some point, if you have a reserve fund that has a sufficient fund in it, then when the opportunity from the state comes, you have the ability to grab that, right? I mean, I think because overall we're starting to do more of that on the county budget. We're going to do a lot more of it in the next budget where we're creating reserve funds rather than bond, because, you know, at some point the bond expense will, you know, be a major portion of our budget, right? And we're trying to kind of get away from that at the county level a little bit here, right? So,
well, it helps with that a lot of unbalanced.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah. That's a big part of our conversation.
Yeah. Legislator Litt, go ahead.
Are you buying these from OGS contract?
Maybe.
So we haven't explored it yet, but yes, it would be either a bid or
you should contract. Because on state contract, they might have, you're buying a truck, right? Their RFP goes out for 4,000 trucks. So, scale of economy, you can buy it a lot cheaper through OGS contract. So, you should look into that. You'll save a lot of money.
We definitely explore that every time, or okay. we have purchasing policies in place that require the use of that if it meets our needs.
Okay. Great. Anyone have any other questions about Resolution 332 for the capital project? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, thank you. The last resolution is resolution number 334, which is establishing capital project number 672 for SUNY Ulster wayfinding, amending the 2023 capital fund budget SUNY Ulster. I don't remember the number on that one, but that's creating signage throughout the campus. Is that what that is?
Yeah. Removing the existing He's been on the campus, the existing flat, not particularly helpful signs and replacing them with the more the modern and navigating.
When you take those down, what are you going to do with them? Because one of my former students is on those signs, and she's also on New Paltz signs. I'm like, you have a job being a model for the local colleges.
We're also looking at kiosks.
Yes.
So coming up with interactive technology.
I am looking for, that would be the one that
Great.
And Kingston Center and iPark will have, you know, ability to build in signage as well. So,
that's great.
And but I'm sure we should find out the student.
It's Aaliyah Speller. Aaliyah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
She lives in Rosendale.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. We can follow up.
Yeah.
Part of that.
I have a photo of her. If you.
So with those, see, just. Made me think something. So you're gonna have interactive kiosks on the sign.
That would be a new sign.
Would that have things like links to the UCAT bus schedule, things like that,
great.
Potentially?
Yeah.
You know, to help the students know when the bus is coming. I mean.
And when you first come in, so your first time, your entry point into the campus.
Yeah.
I want to do something.
Got it.
I'll show you where to go instead of.
And we'll have emergency connections through to the blue light kind of thing.
Yeah.
So.
Great.
And that's an RFP process as well.
I'm sure we'll definitely be following all procurement.
Yeah.
Again, so this is going to go out to a bond, correct?
And the SUNY capital fund.
Yes, right. Yeah. So again, this is another thing that, you know, signage to me is we're bonding for signage. It's like, you know, we you know, as the government, we have to find a better way than just keep borrowing, right? We have to, you know, work our budgets a little tighter to get reserve funds so we can afford to spend $250,000 in 1 year on a multi-million dollar budget,
right?
Okay. Any other comments or questions on Resolution 334? All those in favor?
Aye.
I don't know if they moved it or seconded it, but I'll vote aye.
Okay.
I don't think they did. As a
I'll move it.
Somebody want it. All right. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So one thing that we have to do that we didn't do is approve the minutes from the previous meeting.
I move that we approve the minutes.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So what we have next, the new business, we have to decide when we're going to have our next committee meeting because our next committee meeting falls on the 4th of July. So I have a couple of proposals in there, which would be both after existing committee meetings up in the library. So that means that it says 6:30, but that's probably a lie, right? It's probably closer to 7 or something like that. And I'm looking for ideas on, you know.
You can't do it on the Monday, the 3rd?
No, I don't think that's...
People will be traveling.
That's a holiday. So, I mean, I'm off.
I know, that's why I'm off the rest of the week, because it's a holiday.
Well,
I will be here on the 3rd.
Right, and so that's the big problem that we're facing, you know. So that's really why I wanted to bring it up and discuss it, because I know that, you know, folks take that week off as vacation and travel and stuff. we don't have to do this tonight. But
can
if
you make a doodle poll or something?
I can make a doodle poll.
And
I can show you guys how to use that if any of you aren't familiar.
I mean,
is there overlap as far as legislators in both of the committee meetings?
Yeah, I'll be there on the 5th. But health.
Yeah.
At 5.
You're in the.
He's in the office building there.
What about the other day?
And the 6th is energy and environment and law enforcement.
Yeah, that's right.
Are you on that one, Joe?
Yeah.
So there's only.
There's only one committee meeting.
You're going to have to wait until
at 5 o'clock.
Right, we have to. And that's what we faced the last time we went through this. It was like we had overlapping, you know, membership in different committees. So.
Well, I mean.
That was going to be long.
What time is the meeting? Can we go earlier?
You know, that might be a challenge getting people to be there. That would be it would have to be like 3 o'clock, right?
Isn't there a 3 o'clock meeting? What's the 3 o'clock meeting?
No, there wouldn't
energy
be anything at 3.
On Thursday. So not on Wednesday.
Okay.
The 6th.
Yeah.
So why don't we do 3 o'clock before the years?
What day is that? On the 5th?
On the 5th.
3 o'clock?
I can't do that.
That's a work day. I don't know if I can do that either.
On the 5th?
Yeah.
I'm working on it. So.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah. You're the other direction, though. You'd be staying late, not leaving early, right? We have to. I have to.
You know what? I can look into that though. Maybe.
Well, if Michael sets up a doodle poll with different options, right, for before or after.
I love doodle polls.
Me too.
Yeah, give me a doodle poll.
Sounds so much fun.
Right. Right. And we'd be voting on your budget at that meeting, so it'd be an earlier meeting if that potentially would happen. So it's going to be somewhere either early or late on the 5th or 6th, most likely. Okay? All right. So we'll do a doodle poll, and then we can make a decision. Then.
Perfect.
Okay? Anybody have anything else they want to bring up under new business? Is there any old business? Herb?
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you.
Let me know when my courses are set up.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
What is that? Meat handling?
Construction inspection, construction management, and meat.